doing of our religious duties, our religious exercises, that must be done. But we must be careful that we're not hypocritical in doing them. He said in the book of Luke, chapter 12, in verse 1, when, upon seeing the multitudes that came to him, he said to his disciples, he said, "Be ye aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." In this chapter, giving to the poor, praying, fasting are great Christian duties. And they must be done. But we must guard our heart so that we're not hypocritical in the doing of them. Title of the message today, and you've seen it on the marquee if you looked, is "Give, but do it properly." Give, but do it properly. Concerning our giving to the poor, Jesus said, "Take heed." Which suggests that we are in danger of sinning if we do not do it properly. That is, if we do it for vainglory, if we do it for self-gratification, that we might be exalted, that we might be built up in some way, shape, or form. Our scripture reading this morning is chapter 6 in the first 4 verses. "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." The first thing we want to consider this morning is giving to the poor. That's what alms was. It was a giving to the poor. It's a great duty. It's a duty that's laid upon us. It's not wrong to give to the poor. In fact, how can we say that we are Christian? How can we say that we are a child of God if we do not give to the poor? In the book of James, in chapter 1, in verse 27, we're told that pure religion, true religion, non-hypocritical religion, religion without hypocrisy and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Now that word visit means to inspect, to look out, to look upon. You look out for the fatherless and the widows. And why did he say the fatherless and widows? Because they were known to be poor. If you were without father, you were poor. You were fatherless. You had no one to care for you. You had no one to provide for you. And widows, they had lost the one who cared for them, the one who provided for them. They were poor. And so they're in need of someone to look after them, to see to it that their needs are taken care of and met. It's a law of nature and of Moses. In fact, it's called righteousness, which is a righteous act that those who are righteous do. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, and we go back to the Old Testament law concerning it in chapter 25 and in verse 35. He said, "And if thy brother be waxen poor," that wasn't just one born in the same family, this was any of a kin or of the same country, same nationality, "be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee." In other words, your neighbor, your fellow man. Oh, we learned about neighbor last week, didn't we? Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 3. In verse 27, we read this: "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." When you have the ability, you were not to withhold it from them. But you were to do. You were to provide. "Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee." You have it right now. You know you have it. Don't forbear the giving. Give to them. If you turn with me to the book of Psalms in 112, Psalms 112 and verse 9, "He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor," notice this, "his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor." You see, giving to the poor is a righteous act. It's righteousness. It's something that the righteous do. It's expected if you're a righteous man that you'll give to the poor. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. Actually, verse 21. Now I want verse 2. Excuse me. I guess I should have trusted my notes to be correct on that. Verse 2, Proverbs 10:2. Treasure of wickedness profit nothing. Notice what he says now. But righteousness, talking about giving, talking about those treasures, those things that you have, but righteousness delivers from death. Your giving delivers one out of their need, helps them in their time of poverty. So it's expected. It was commanded in the law of Moses to give. We're expected to give. It is a responsibility that carries reward with it. In our text, in verses 1 and in verses 4, it talks about the reward. Verse 1 says they have no reward from God. Why? Because they have their reward, because they've done it wrongly, in a wrong manner. Verse 4 tells us that our Father, when you do it right, our Father which is in heaven rewards us, gives to us. Yes, he that gives and gives liberally has great reward. Has a great reward. Sometimes it's manifested in material things. The book of Proverbs chapter 11 and in verses 24 and 25 says this: there is that scattereth, or disperses, gives, and yet increases. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced giving and it increases? And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, more than is suitable, more than is necessary. So with him, he's a miser. I worked hard for what I got. You ain't getting none of my money. You ain't getting no help from me. But it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You see, the giver, it can never go wrong with giving. The Lord is our keeper, and he's going to make it come back on us. That's his principle in the Word of God. Chapter 19 of Proverbs and verse 17 says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. I like that verse. That's great. I wish I'd have learned that years ago. I don't know why I have to come to the end of my life and start to learn some of these things. Sometimes, great reward is manifested in freedom from want, freedom from need, lacking what we need. Proverbs 28 and verse 27 says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. He shall not have need. Don't withhold from giving to them because you think, well, I might need it later. God said, give it and you're not going to come to need. He's going to see to it. He's going to take care of it. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. He's going to have many a problems. many evils come upon him. Chapter 37 of Psalms. Psalms chapter 37 and in verse 21. Another principle concerning giving in these verses here, and one verse that we'll read is very familiar. Verse 21 says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." You see, it's a merciful act. And you give. The righteous do. It's expected that a righteous person is going to be a giving person. When did we get so miserly? When did we get so shut up in our bowels of mercy and compassion? Then he goes on to say that the one that is merciful and gives, he's going to be blessed. Because he's going to inherit the earth. He says, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." He said, even though he fell down, the Lord is there to help him back up again. Look at verse 25. He said, "I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken." The one who is righteous and he gives out of a heart of mercy and out of a heart of compassion. He gives. He said, "I've never seen him because he gave, because he had a heart of mercy, because he had a heart of compassion, and gave and gave and gave. I've never seen him forsaken or begging bread." Wow. We think we have to lay up in store. We have to lay up for rainy days. We can't help the poor. You see, this is a blessing upon those who are righteous and those who give. And we have great reward. Isn't it wonderful to be on that end and to see God work in marvelous ways? His wonders to behold. Sometimes these great rewards come to us in times of trouble. In times, evil times and bad times. In Psalms chapter 41 and verses 1 and 2, we read this: "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." That is, in time of bad, in time of evil. Evil, that's what that word trouble there means. "The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies." Wow. Isn't that a great reward? Not sometimes. The righteous and talking about the righteousness of giving is a good name, brings a good name upon you. We already read Psalms 112 and verse 9. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. That is, he's going to be lifted up and he's going to be exalted with honor. Listen, you know what a legacy is? That's a good name that you've left behind. What a legacy folks have left. You know, because they love the Lord and serve the Lord and they follow the principles of God's Word. Yes, even in giving, they followed the principles of God. That is, you see, that's a name that God has given you. That's a name that God has exalted. You haven't sought it out from men, but God gives it to you because you trust Him, because you honor Him, because you glorify Him. You see, He gives you that name. Then in sometimes, not sometimes, it's going to be manifested in eternal riches. Did you know that giving to the poor will manifest itself in eternal wealth? Wow. He said in the book of Luke in chapter 14, He said, when you put on a dinner, when you put on a supper, He said, call not your kin, call not your friends, call not the wealthy to the dinner. But who did He say to invite? He said, invite the poor, invite the lame, invite the maimed, invite the blind. Why? He said, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. They can't repay you. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Oh, in that day, when these bodies come forth, we're going to be paid. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be rewarded. If it's done right, you see, because we've trusted God in that. Second thing we want to consider in our text this morning is the practice of the hypocrites. The practice that He's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and He calls them hypocrites. That is, they were pretenders. They were actors. They weren't the real thing. They pretended to be religious. Pretended to care. They gave to the poor, but not out of obedience to God. They gave to the poor, but not out of love for their fellow man. They gave to the poor, but it was to receive the praise of man. That was their goal. That was their purpose. To have an exalted name. Oh, we see it all the time in the world in which we live, don't we? We men out there giving to this charity and to that charity, and they always get their name in the paper, and they always have a dinner, you know, to be recognized at the feast of giving $1 million to the news fella give to this senior graduating class in college at this. You all know where I'm talking about, right? Certain class of college. It was a college that you and I can't go to. We're not the right color. But he came and he paid for each one of their tuition for all 4 years. Wiped out. Wow. But he was on the news, and they had a big announcement there at the graduation ceremony. And he stood up there and announced it, and all big show. Boy, he got a big name, didn't he? There have been other occasions. Such things. That's the same thing Jesus said was going on with these hypocrites. They made sure that men were watching them. They paraded in the synagogues and in the streets that they might be seen. And if necessary, sounded a horn. All that's in verse 2. Jesus said, what? He said, they have their reward. That is the praise of men. They have their reward. Verse 1, he said, I don't need to expect a reward from God. Why? Because they have their reward. Their reward. Consider their reward. Oh, it's a reward. But it's not the reward that God gives. It's that which they chose. It is that of this world. The book of Psalms in chapter 17. Psalms chapter 17 and in verse 14, he says this. He says, verse 13, he talks about being delivered from, deliver my soul from the wicked. He said, from men which are thy hand. In other words, those that the Lord raised up to for the punishment of evildoers for not doing the ways of the Lord. In the psalmist here saying, deliver me from those that you've raised up for that purpose, Lord. From men of the world. Notice what he says about them. Which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures. Those hid treasures that God has filled them with is the blessings of this life, the comforts of this life. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes, to their children's children. You see, that's the way of the world. You know, they get their reward here and they leave that on to their children, to their grandchildren, to their great-grandchildren. He said, and we're told in the book of Luke in chapter 16, remember the rich man and Lazarus? And remember they both died? And Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in great torment. And he prayed his father Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water that it might cool his tongue, for he's tormented in this flame. What did Abraham say to him there? He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things? You had all the comforts of life. You had all the comforts of earth. And Lazarus didn't have those things. He said, now he's comforted, Lazarus, and thou art tormented. It's a reward now. They have their reward. They have it right now. Now, they can't see any further than the here and now. Well, God's people ought to be able to see further than the here and now. We ought to be able to see that there's more to this life than a name in this life, than riches in this life. He said they don't need to expect any further reward. No reward from God. They have their reward. And it's an earthly reward. Oh, how empty. Oh, how empty. We that know better know it's empty. The third thing we want to consider found in verses 3 and 4 is the command of the Lord. Actually, all four verses. In verses 3 and 4, though, he said, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father that seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Verse 34 of the same chapter said this, "Take no thought, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Give! Give your alms and do it right! Do it in a proper way! Don't be concerned about tomorrow! Let the Lord take care of tomorrow. Tomorrow you might be in glory with Him. You have need of none of that money, that wealth that you left behind. Take no thought for tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. It's our duty. When thou doest thine alms. He's not telling us not to do alms. He's not telling us not to give to the poor. He said, "When thou doest thine alms." He's not telling us not to give to the poor. Just quite the opposite. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 19, he told the good man that came to him wanting to know what good thing he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus quoted to him the commandments concerning his neighbor, and he said, "All these I've done from my youth." And Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And likewise, in the book of Mark, in chapter 10 and verse 21, told another one there, same scenario. Go and give to the poor. He's not telling us here that by your giving to the poor, you're going to inherit eternal life. He tells us those that have eternal life, those who are righteous, they give to the poor. They manifest that they are the children of God by giving. Being a giving and caring people, as did Zacchaeus when he was saved, when he was born again. Did he not manifest that he was a child of God? In the book of Luke, in chapter 19, and verse 8, Zacchaeus said, after the Lord went to his house, and salvation had came to him, he said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold." He manifested a heart that had been changed. A new heart. That was not like that old filthy tax collector who charged people more so he could pad his pockets, you know, and amass all this wealth to himself. That wasn't like him to give it all back and to restore it fourfold if he did anything deceitful. He manifested that he was now a child of God. He was now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're told in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. He is the true child of God. "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother. I'm not talking just about one born in your own house. It's not talking about just a brother and sister in Christ. It's talking about your fellow man. They're all your brothers. You see your brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you say that the love of God is dwelling in your heart, that it's been shut abroad in your heart, when you shut up your bowels of compassion and do not give? He said, in our text, he said, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Doing with the right hand suggests a readiness to help. It suggests helping the poor. Not only monetarily. They may not just always need monetary help. They may need help in other areas, in other avenues. So it's in any way that he needs help. We must not do it to be seen of men. That must not be our motive. That must not be our goal. Yes. Men will see you. And brothers and sisters in Christ ought to see that. It sets an example. It sets a testimony. But that is not our purpose and our goal. Our purpose and our goal is to honor and glorify God and show honor and glory to God out of a heart of love and compassion for those who have not. Those who are in need. Especially when we have it within our ability to help them. Whatever that may take on, whether it be monetary or whether it just be need know-how. You have the know-how to do something. To help them. But we must not toot our own horn and say, look what I'm doing! See all the good that I'm doing! I think of on the note of testimony, Brother France and others are a great testimony of a life of giving. And just trusting God to take care, taking no thought of them all, letting them all take care of itself. That exemplifies the life of faith. A life of trusting God. And then last of all, notice the promise. He said, my Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Oh, to be rewarded at the hand of God. We touched on some of the ways in which he rewards us. Many of those are the here and now. Those who do it because they sincerely love God. And they love their fellow man. They have a reward that cannot compare with any reward that you may obtain on this earth. Listen, God takes notice. Said he seeth in secret. Even though no one else notices. So what? That ain't why I did it. I did it because I love God and I want Him to get the glory. If the person that you help says thank you, say, just thank God for putting it in my heart to help you. Give God the glory. Psalms 38 and verses 14 and 15 talk about Him hearing. That which is not heard. He sees that which is not seen. He knows. We acknowledge, we are saved, we are righteous. We acknowledge that God is our rewarder. God told Abram in the 15th chapter of Genesis in verse 1, He said, "Fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Listen, brothers and sisters, God's saying to us today, fear not, He's our exceeding great reward. You don't need any other. Isn't that the principle of faith? Hebrews 11, verse 6. But faith... Oh boy. But it is impossible to please Him without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe. He must believe that He is. But what else must he believe? That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see? And giving to the poor is manifesting diligently seeking after God. Why? Because God commanded it to give to the poor. We are rewarded by our Father. That's what it says in our text. He says, "Thy Father." Is He your Father? He said, "Thy Father." Our Father shall reward us. And He said, openly. Many times it's here in this life. It's before all our brothers. It's before the world, but they don't see it necessarily as a blessing. But there's another place that is done openly. At the judgment seat of Christ. All the saints are going to be beholding that reward. Wow. And doesn't that bless you? Doesn't that thrill your soul to think about it? He gives abundantly now and in the life to come. Isn't that what 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 said? Godliness. Being godlike. Giving to the poor is being godlike. Jesus Christ manifested a life of giving to the poor. He said, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and the life which is to come. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing, Brother Mike.
Number 475.